And before we read this passage from Scripture, we'll just come to the Lord and we'll ask Him in prayer that He will bless us as we come and consider His Word. Let's all pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this great privilege we have to come before Thy presence to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee that we can come before Thee through and by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, our intercessor before Thee and us. And Father, we pray that as we will be considering Thy word, that Thou wilt be pleased to speak to our hearts, that Thou wilt apply the teaching of Thy word to our lives, that we will be growing in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that Thou will speak to those who are out of Christ, so they will put their trust in Him, and by faith and in repentance from their sins, they will be saved through faith in Him. And we also pray that Thou will also deal with those that maybe in Thy will Thou will call to the service in foreign land, that they will also fulfill thy will in their lives. Father, we pray that as we will be going out of this place, that we will be rejoicing as we have come to have not only communion with Thee, fellowship with Thee, but also with the assurance that Thou will have spoken to our hearts, and that Thou will also have blessed us at this time as we gather together in Thy presence. Father, we pray that Thou will glorify Thy name in all these things. Amen. Psalm 34. Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Before I came to Northern Ireland for my meetings, I was preaching on this text in our church there in Alcorcón. This actually was our motto text for 2016. And there are many teachings and many applications that we can bring and we can take from this passage, only this verse from Scripture. But what I want to do today is, among the different applications and the different teachings that we can find here in this text, I want to focus your attention on two particular aspects that we can find in this text when it says here, when it speaks about the Lord's goodness and how to taste and see the Lord's goodness and how blessed it is for us to trust in Him. What I want to do then, as I said earlier on, I want to preach on this text and bring some update and some of the situation, spiritually speaking, of the work in Spain. So just two things that I want to consider with you. The first one, as we read here, taste and see that there is good, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We see here how we can taste and see the Lord's goodness in our salvation, or concerning salvation. It is clear the Lord reveals in His word, through His word from beginning to the end, that the only way we can taste and see God's goodness is through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only Savior for sinners. And let me not take for granted, please, let me not take for granted this morning that everybody that is gathered here today is a saved person, is a newborn believer. Let me not take that for granted. I don't know your heart, but the Lord knows your heart. So let me ask you this question. As you read here about the Lord's goodness, how good do you think you are? Do you think you're a good person? Do you consider yourself to be a good person? Well, you're gathered here today, and maybe you tend to compare yourself with somebody in the world, somebody that is out there just doing their own thing, not thinking about God at all. And maybe you tend to compare yourself with those people. And maybe you think, well, I'm not a bad person after all, because I haven't broken into a bank, because I haven't killed anybody. So you tend to think that way, and you tend to think that you're not a bad person after all, because you tend to compare yourself to that kind of people. Well, that kind of comparison is very deceitful, because you're not considering yourself in the light of the Word of God. It's a very partial, a relative way to consider yourself, morally, spiritually speaking. Because when I ask you, what kind of person do you think you are? When I ask you, do you think you're a good person? I wasn't thinking that you are to compare yourself with the worst of society, with those that are in the world, those that are deep into sin. That's not what I was thinking about. And that's not what we find in God's Word. The way you must compare yourself, the way you must consider yourself. Actually, when I was asking you this question, it's not how do you see yourself compared to those in the world, but actually, how do you see yourself confronted with the Word of God? How do you see yourself confronted with the law of God? Because that's the way God considers you. He doesn't compare you with the worst of society. He confronts you with His perfect holy law. And that's the way we need to consider when how are we to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, since the Lord confronts us, since God confronts us with His Word, so let's take His law, or some of the commandments. We're not going to go through all of them, but let's take some of the commandments and see how we see ourselves in the light of God's perfect law. For example, have you ever told a lie? God asks, thou shalt not lie. And we have told any lie, and I'm sure it hasn't been one lie. I'm sure every one of us has told many lies in our lives. So that means that we have broken God's law. Another commandment. Have you ever taken away something that didn't belong to you? Doesn't matter the worth, the intrinsic worth, the price of that thing that you've taken away. Doesn't matter. If you've taken something that taken away something that didn't belong to you, you have broken God's law, because God says, God commands you, He commands all of us, thou shalt not steal. So you and I have broken God's law in this commandment as well. Another commandment, and this is not only for grown people. There are several young people here, there are several children here. Just listen to me. Listen to what God says in His law. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, so that the Lord will give you long days in your life. Have you ever dishonored your parents? And doesn't matter if you're a child or a young person, or even a grown man or a grown woman. Of course, we have disobeyed our parents, and we have broken God's law in that aspect as well. Well, you think, well, I'm not one of those that are out there that are deep into sin. The Lord says in His Word that if we lust, if we desire unlawfully, if a woman lusts a man in his heart, the Lord says on the Sermon of the Mount that if we do that, we have committed adultery in our hearts. So we have broken God's law in that aspect as well. Even in First John chapter 3, verse 15, If you hate somebody in your heart, that means, according to that verse, that you have killed that person, you have committed murder in your heart, because you have hated that person in your heart. You have committed murder in your heart against that person. And God says, He commands you in His word, thou shalt not kill. Now, I've only gone through five of the Ten Commandments. If we went through all of them, we would see that in different aspects, we all have broken God's law in different aspects, in different ways. So, in the light of God's word, we are not good after all. During my deputation meetings, when I go to the prayer meetings, not on the Lord's Day, but in the midweek prayer meetings, I bring my laptop, I bring the projector, and I bring a big screen. Or if they have a big screen, well, they project it on the big screen they have there. And I connect the laptop to the projector so everything can be projected on the big screen. Well, imagine for a moment that instead of connecting the projector to my laptop, we could connect your mind and your heart into the projector so that we could project all your thoughts, all your secret thoughts, all your secret desires of your heart onto the big screen. What would people see there? Would you be at ease? Would you be happy what people would be seeing there on the big screen? Well, that's what God can see right into your heart. As if all your thoughts, all your desires were projected on a big screen and everybody could see that. God sees right into your heart. So we are not good after all. Actually, not good at all. We have broken God's law in every single way. Now, maybe you think whenever you read here or taste and see that the Lord is good, maybe you will reason within yourself. Well, it doesn't say here that the Lord is good. Therefore, if the Lord is good, the Lord is merciful. If the Lord is God, is love, then He will forgive me in the end, no matter what. No matter what kind of person I am. Well, imagine for a moment, in a court of law here on earth, there is this judge, and there is this criminal judge in front of him, and there is all the proofs that they have been given. And this criminal has been proved guilty. But then the judge, instead of saying, you are guilty and you must be punished, he says, imagine, I don't know, one of those terrorists that have killed people. And this judge says, well, I'll set you free. I know you are guilty. I know you deserve your punishment. But I'm going to overlook your crime, your guilt, and you're free. What kind of judge would you think was that, this kind of judge? He wouldn't be good at all. He could be cruel. He could be unjust. He could be unrighteous. How much more when we read in God's word, Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth, that's God, do right? So when you read here, or taste and see that the Lord is good, don't think for a moment that He will accept you, first of all, on the basis of your own goodness. Because we have just seen in the light of His law that we are not good at all. We are all guilty of breaking His law. And don't think for a moment that because the Lord is good, He's going to overlook your sin. He's going to overlook your guilt. your wickedness. Because God is not only good, He's just. He is the judge, the righteous judge. And He will never ever, He says that very clearly in His word, He will never ever overlook the guilty person that dies in his sins. Actually, when you read this verse, when we read this verse, what the Lord is telling all of us is that in order to taste and see that He is good, we must not trust in ourselves. We must not approach Him trusting in ourselves. We must not approach Him on a false basis of His goodness. But actually, trusting in Him alone. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We've seen that a good judge on earth wouldn't overlook a guilty person. He would punish that person. But the Lord is good above all, above everybody. And though He's a just judge, He has done far better, infinitely better, than any judge on the earth could do. Because in order to set us free, being guilty, He has provided the way for us to be declared just, righteous, though we are guilty. And we know the way. He has given us, in order to show us His goodness, He has given His only begotten Son. God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What that means is this. Through Christ's perfect obedience, He has fulfilled every aspect of the law. He has taken our place. Now, when we think of Christ taking our place, sometimes we tend to think that He took our place only on the cross, when He died there on the cross. But actually, He took our place through His life, through His entire life. When He was born without sin because we are born sinners. When He lived a perfect life because we break God's law in every moment, in our thoughts, in our speech, in our actions. So Christ fulfilled in every aspect. When you read there that we lie, He always told the truth. When we take some things away, He gave Himself for us. And so on. And when the Lord is telling you here, trust and see that the Lord is good, He is calling you to consider yourself not only in the light of His law, and then you see yourself condemned, but also in the light of Christ's perfect righteousness. Because when you come to Christ, when you repent from your sins, and you put your trust in Christ and Him alone, God, the judge of all the earth, when He looks upon you, justified through Christ, when He looks upon you, He doesn't see a guilty sinner that deserves eternal punishment. But He sees a person as if that person had never broken God's law. We have broken God's law, of course. But He looks upon you and He sees you as if you had never broken His law. As if you had always fulfilled His law. That's how good our God is. And don't you think for a moment that, well, you don't deserve that eternal punishment. That's too big a punishment for me to bear. Well, punishment is always according to crime, to the crime. And crime is considered, we'll say, bigger or lesser according to the honor of the person against that crime is made. Imagine a person in the street, a criminal, kills another person in the street. Well, he will receive his punishment. But if that person kills the president of that country, or in this case, the queen of the country, that person will receive a greater punishment because that a person has attempted against a person with great dignity, with great honor. How much more we deserve God's eternal punishment when we have dishonored God's infinite glory, God's infinite glorious name and honor. But He has given us His Son in order to be saved, and in order to be accepted before Him, and in order for you, if you're not saved, in order for you to taste and see that the Lord, that God is good. Now, if you're saved, consider the great privilege we have that we were hell-deserving sinners. We deserve eternal punishment for the way we have broken God's law, how we have attempted against His honor and His glory. But instead of receiving what we deserve, God has justified us through His Son, so now we are enabled to taste and see His goodness and serve Him. From blaspheming His name in every way, in word and life, and action, now we are enabled to praise Him and serve Him and glorify Him. And concerning the work in Spain, in our ministry, the Reverend John Hanna, myself, we've been trying to do, with all our errors and failures and mistakes. But the Lord has called us to faithfully preach His gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sinners, we deserve punishment, but the Lord has given His Son. God has given His Son in order for us to be saved. And the Lord has been pleased to show us, as we see here, the Lord has been pleased to show us His goodness through these last years. The last time I was here, it was in 2010. It's been 6 years since my last time in Northern Ireland. And the Lord has been good to show us His goodness in such a way that we are very thankful to the Lord, and this is only for His glory. That now in our services, just in last year, there are several people, different backgrounds, that He has brought in the church to hear His word and be saved. I want to be very brief here, but I want to give you an idea how the Lord has blessed us there in the ministry and in the church. There are several families that left the National Presbyterian Church in Spain. Now, the National Presbyterian Church in Spain is the oldest Protestant church in Spain. Now, that denomination has fallen into apostasy. They've opened, just two examples, they've opened their doors to Roman Catholicism. They can sit together the same place, a Roman Catholic priest and the evangelical minister from this denomination, they can sit together in the same place and worship the same God. They've also opened their doors to homosexuality in such a way that they could have members in their congregations being homosexual, and that will be alright for them. The same with ministers. And some families that are living there in Madrid, were in this church, in this denomination, they left because of these things, and they became members of our church. Some other families, they were in a Reformed Baptist church, and we used to have good fellowship with this church there in Madrid. John Hanna and myself, we used to go there sometimes when the minister was away to preach. But this church has fallen into a terrible legalism. And some families, they left because of that. They wanted to worship and serve the Lord on biblical basis. And they started to attend our services. They heard God's word preached. And now they are members of our church. They they became members of our church last year. Some other people that went through Sunday school many years ago. And the Lord has been also dealing in recent years, last year specifically, with some of them. And they are now back to the church. They were very much into the world. They got married with unbelievers. And I say that also to encourage you. Maybe you can think of some people that some years ago went through the Sunday school, through Bible class, and now they are now into the world. What I'm talking about, the people I'm thinking about in our church, it's about 20, 25 years ago that went through Sunday school. And maybe you think of those people that just, that very far away in the world, having gone through church many years ago. Well, keep praying for them. Because the Lord is able to show His goodness. And we can taste and see His goodness in this way as well. Some other people even around the neighborhood, we've never talked to them about the gospel, but the Lord has spoken to their hearts. In the neighborhood, there's a family, an old married couple that lives just across the street. They've been living there for many years. But the Lord spoke to their hearts. And one day they were talking together. And they said, why not to go to this church we have just in front of us? And let's go and listen to what they say, to what they preach. They're not saved, but they are very open to the gospel. And they are there in our church hearing God's word being preached. Another young person that lives down the street from our church. Again, we never came across with him. He never received a gospel tract. He heard about the church that is around the neighborhood or church. And again, he came just 2 Sundays before I came. And he came to the evening service. John Hanna told him about our youth fellowship. He came the following Saturday. He came on the Sunday morning on the Lord's Day. And we gave him a Bible. He stayed for Bible class. We have it in the afternoon. And then he stayed for the evening service. And I've heard that he is compelling his atheist stepfather to come along with him to hear God's word being preached. And the Lord is showing us His goodness in all these aspects and some other aspects that I don't have time to consider them all. And the Lord has been good to us. And I say this again to rejoice in the Lord how good He has been. We are now in our congregation. In the morning service, the service is the hall is packed to full capacity. And we even have, we'll say it's, we have more or less it's like this front row here, we have more or less 11, 12 pews. And we have to put extra chairs on both sides. Because the Lord is bringing them in. We have tested, we are testing, and we are seeing that the Lord is good. Now, at the present time, the Lord has blessed us, and we are now 67 members, communicant members in our church. And we are seeing and we are rejoicing in the Lord's goodness. The Lord has also given you this great privilege to serve Him and to taste His goodness and to see His goodness. Churches around us, in Spain, over here in Northern Ireland, everywhere, they are deviating from the truth through apostasy, through legalism, and many other things. But what the Lord has called us to do is to preach His word, to preach faithfully His gospel. So in that way, we will be blessed as we trust in Him and we taste and see His goodness in our lives. But there's one more thing that I want to consider briefly. How can we taste and see the Lord's goodness concerning the mission field? Concerning the mission field. We read here, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Take note of the order. Because not only the words are inspired by the Holy Spirit, even the order is also inspired by God. And we read here, we don't read here, O see and taste. But we read in this order, O taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a matter of faith, not of sight. You see the order? O taste, and that has to do with faith. And then you will see. It's not that first you need to see, and then you will taste the goodness of the Lord. And concerning the work of the Lord here, and even if you are considering the mission field, if you want to see things done for the Lord, it's not that, well, you reason within yourself. Well, first of all, I need to see what the Lord is able to do. And then I will give myself to Him and taste His goodness. That's not the way the Lord is telling you here to prove His goodness. He says to taste and see that the Lord is good. We have in our church one of the elders of our church. We are six elders. John, Hannah, myself, we are the ministers, and we have four ruling elders. One of the ruling elders, some years ago, he felt the Lord's call for the ministry some years ago. But for different reasons, work reasons, family reasons, different personal circumstances, he kept postponing his call, first of all, his preparation, his theological preparation, and then his preparation for the ministry, for all these reasons. In the light of this passage, he wanted to do the opposite of what the Lord tells us to do here. He first wanted to see all those circumstances, all the reasons he had in his mind removed by the Lord. Or, first of all, he wanted to solve those circumstances, see them all solved, and then taste that the Lord is good. But something very providential happened in 2014. The Reverend Ian Harris, he went over to Spain to encourage the missionaries from our denomination over there in Spain. And because his purpose there for him to go there with us, we asked him to preach in our church. And he emphasized on this subject, on this topic, giving ourselves to the Lord, no matter what. And that was the message that the Lord used to speak to our elders' heart. And he left all those, he set aside all those things, all those reasons, all the circumstances that he was putting first of all, and that and kept him postponing the Lord's call and his preparation. He set them aside. And now this year, glory to God, he has started to study in our Bible college in Spain. Now he is tasting in this order. He is tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Concerning the work in Spain, if you want things done for the Lord, don't wait to see things. First of all, the Lord asks you to trust in Him, to taste His goodness in faith, and you will see His goodness. I've referred to our Bible college in Spain. But think of the Whitefield College of the Bible here in Northern Ireland. How many ministers do you need to cover all the subjects? Well, I was told that about 10, 11 ministers. Well, in our Bible college in Spain, we only have three. Not only that, but we have good fellowship with different churches there, faithful churches in Spain, and several churches, they have their pulpit vacant. They don't have a minister there. In just the few weeks I've been here, I've heard about some ministers being recently installed. Some of them, they're about to be installed. And you have their students that have gone through the college, some others that are in the college. You know, in Spain, not only we have vacant pulpits, there are ministers that they are growing in age, and they will be soon retired from the ministry, and those pulpits would also be vacant. So you see all these aspects, all these needs. And also, considering even from the perspective of the mission field, that those who have come from all denominations to Spain, John and Orana Hanna have been in Spain for nearly 40 years. Lyle and Heather Boyd, they've been there nearly 30 years. Miss Jo Gillespie, she's been 18 years this year. And I was the last one ordained in 2005. We're in 2016. 11 years since the last time a man or a woman from the Free Presbyterian Church has gone to Spain to work in the mission field for the Lord. And as you hear, pulpits being vacant, or Bible college with terrible need of men who will be training Spanish men to go into the service. Missionaries from our denomination that haven't been going to the mission field in all those years. And I only say this to show you the terrible need we have in Spain for missionaries and for ministers, for men and women to go to Spain and to work alongside with us. And if you want to see things done for the Lord, He wants you to put your trust in Him so that you can taste and see His goodness. The Lord will call you to different work, a different office. Maybe you will be a farmer, or you are a farmer. Maybe you will be a businessman, or any other work. And that's God's goodness for you in your life concerning work. But if the Lord is calling you to His service, the only way you can taste and see His goodness concerning your work, we'll say, is by giving yourself to Him, tasting and seeing His goodness, and seeing how blessed it is to Him as you give yourself for His service. So I'm not only calling you in the light of this passage, calling you to consider God's call, possibly, maybe the Lord is calling you, possibly to His service, but also consider even the need of Spain that the Lord might be even calling you to foreign land. And even Spain, to work there with us. Now, maybe you will not be called to a mission field, but it says here, "I'll taste and see that the Lord is good." How can you? And I'm just going to say this very, very briefly. How can you taste and see that the Lord is good concerning the mission field, though you are not in the mission field? Well, please keep praying for the mission field, for those who are in the mission field, that the Lord will provide in these aspects, as I told you, bringing before the throne of grace all these needs. Also, you can taste and see the Lord's goodness by supporting the Lord's work there in the different countries out there that there are missionaries working for the Lord. Or maybe, again, I say, if the Lord is calling you, by giving yourself to Him for His service. It's like, you see, when Moses, he asked the Lord, "Show me thy glory," Exodus 33. How did the Lord answer that prayer? "Lord, show me thy glory." The Lord answered this way: "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." It's a very interesting way to answer that prayer. "Show me thy glory." And the Lord says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." What the Lord is teaching us here is, if you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, seek His glory. Seek His name glorified in your life. By trusting in Him, by seeing how blessed it is to trust in Him, that's the only way you and I can taste and see that He is good. I just want to finish with by quoting Spurgeon. I sometimes going to the internet and see if this verse is speaking about goodness. I like to see what, for example, Spurgeon and Luther said about the goodness of the Lord. And as you see all the different different sites that you find there, I found one of these sites that Spurgeon, well, he preached on this text as well, but he had a small devotional on this text. He called this devotional Tasting God's Goodness. And I just want to finish reading this very, very little devotional that he wrote. He wrote, "There is a depth, a matchless depth in Jesus' love. There is a luscious sweetness in the fellowship with Him. You must eat, or you will never know the flavor of it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Behold how ready He still is to welcome sinners. Trust Him and live. Feed on Him and grow strong. Commune with Him and be happy. May every one of you who shall sit at His table have the nearest approach to Jesus that you ever had. Like two streams that after flowing side by side at length unite, so may Christ and our soul melt into one, until only one life shall flow, so that the life we live in the flesh shall be no more ours, but Christ who lives in us." Do you want to taste and see the Lord's goodness for your salvation? Do you want to taste and see the Lord's goodness for your life? As you consider your future, your life that lies ahead, how the Lord wants you to serve Him. Do you want to taste and see the Lord's goodness concerning the mission field in these aspects we have just considered? Well, listen to what the Lord says here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth, that put his trust in Him. And Him alone. May the Lord bless His word upon our hearts.